I'm going to read those verses in just a moment, and then we'll open up in a word of prayer. Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 11, I'd like to say, in light of this passage before us this morning, that it is always too soon to quit. As we find the Apostle Paul this morning, he's on a second missionary journey. He's entering into the city of Corinth, and he is awaiting news from his companions in the ministry, from both Silas and Timothy, as to how the brethren were doing in Thessalonica and in Berea. Let's read verses 1 through 11 of chapter 18. It says this, "After these things he left Athens and went to Corinth, and he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, having recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. He came to them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them, and they were working, for by trade they were tent makers. And he was reasoning in the synagogue every Sabbath and trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. But when Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul began devoting himself completely to the word, solemnly testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. But when they resisted and blasphemed, he shook out his garments and said to them, 'Your blood be on your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles.' Then he left there, and he went to the house of a man named Titus Justus, a worshiper of God, whose house was next to the synagogue. Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, when they heard, were believing and being baptized. And the Lord said to Paul in the night by a vision, 'Do not be afraid any longer, but go on speaking, and do not be silent, for I am with you. And no man will attack you in order to harm you, for I have many people in this city.' And he settled there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them." Let's open up in a word of prayer together. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that you are on the throne, that you are in control of all things. And as Acts chapter 17, verse 26 tells us, you are sovereign. And we thank you that, Lord, you are with us. You are near to us. We thank you for this encouraging word that you gave to the Apostle Paul as he went into this city. I pray that we might be encouraged as we look at your word this morning as well. Father, we would ask that you would help us to take this message and the words that are before us, Father, and use them in our lives. We pray that you might speak to us in a mighty way, and for that we will greatly praise you. In your name we pray. Amen. This morning we're going to see that God is acting in this passage in seven different ways in Paul's life as he continues on in his second missionary journey. We're going to see him acting in seven different ways. The very first way that we see God acting in this passage, and by the way, we really see as a theme God's provision in all of these for the Apostle Paul. But the first action that we see is that God called Paul to Corinth. God called Paul to Corinth. Submission is not always an easy thing to do. I distinctly remember my senior year at Frontier School of the Bible. Katie and I were wondering where it was the Lord wanted us to go. And there were all these opportunities that were out there, all of these open doors for us to go into. There was one that opened up for us in Arizona, and to be honest with you, I didn't go through that door willingly at first. I wanted to look for other possible opportunities, but as we continued that process, door after door started to close, and Katie and I really prayed about where it was God wanted us to go, and sure enough, he was calling us to Arizona. We both had great peace about it. We both knew that that was where the Lord wanted us to go. I need to say this, that there can be a real fear. There can be a great fear of uncertainty when you leave an area that you know and that you love to go somewhere that you've never been before. And I believe that is exactly where we find the Apostle Paul this morning. As he approaches this city, the city of Corinth, we need to understand that the city of Corinth was a city that was corrupt and it was evil. It was a place where sin was glorified. And it has been stated this, that Corinth was one of the most immoral cities of the ancient world. And he had just come out of Athens, and Athens really was one of the most idolatrous cities of the ancient world. And now he's stepping into Corinth. Paul would step into this city that was dominated by sin. But by the grace of God, there would be those who would hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And by God's grace, they would come to faith in Christ. We're going to see that this morning. God called Paul to Corinth. Paul would later write in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3 of his time when he was in Corinth. And he says, when I was with you in much fear, in much trembling, and I was with you in much weakness. But in spite of how the Apostle Paul felt, there is a great peace in knowing that you are in the center of God's will. We see that God called Paul to Corinth in verse 1. The second action that we see this morning is that God provided Paul with companions. God provided Paul with companions. Now, the fourth Roman emperor was a man by the name of Claudius, and Claudius appears in the book of Acts twice. We see him in Acts chapter 11 as well as Acts chapter 18. And Claudius really was responsible for expelling the Jews out of Rome. And it wasn't by mere chance, it wasn't luck that the Apostle Paul happened to stumble upon this Jewish couple, Aquila and Priscilla. I believe the Lord directed them to meet each other. And the Apostle Paul would go on to develop a tremendous relationship with them. Notice with me what it says in verse 2. And he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, having recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul actually would later mention this couple in Romans chapter 16, verse 3, as well as 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 19. He really developed a relationship with them, and I believe their fellowship may have been sweet. The Apostle Paul may have talked with Aquila and Priscilla of how the Lord was working. In chapter 16, you'll remember with me, the Apostle Paul and Silas were imprisoned. And it was God who had freed them. He may have shared with this Jewish couple of how they led a certain Philippian jailer to the Lord. He may have continued to share with them about those who had come to faith in Thessalonica and how they were excited about the Word of God. And then he may have talked with them about his travels in Berea and then in Athens before he came here to Corinth. But I need to say, it is a very encouraging thing when you find another believer in a very spiritually dark place. I believe that their fellowship was sweet with each other. I believe it is so important in the family of God that we strive for unity with one another. And that we share with each other those good things that the Lord is doing in our lives, of how He is working in our life. I believe that that is so important. The Lord provided for the Apostle Paul companions. And the Lord also equipped Paul with a charge. We see that in verses 3 and 4. The Lord equipped Paul with a charge. And he equipped the Apostle Paul with two charges. The first one was as a tent maker. We see that in verse 3. It says, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and they were working, for by trade they were tent makers. One way Paul made a living was by trade. Every Jewish boy learned some manual trade in addition to his chosen profession. And in the case of the Apostle Paul, he was able to work to support himself as a missionary. But the second charge that the Lord gave to the Apostle Paul was to proclaim the Word of God. We see that in verse 4. And he was reasoning in the synagogue every Sabbath and trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. Now I want to stop here just for a moment, because as the Apostle Paul is here. He's going to these synagogues and he is sharing the gospel. There are two words that I want us to note this morning. The first word appears in verse 4 and the second word appears in verse 5. In verse 4, it says that the Apostle Paul was reasoning with them in the scriptures, or in the synagogue, rather. He was reasoning with them. And that word reasoning carries with it this idea of discussing or exchanging conversation with one another. What happens between verse 4 and verse 5? Because in verse 5 it says that he was testifying to them, which is a different Greek word. To testify means to declare the truth. His ministry to them intensified. There was a financial gift that was given to the Apostle Paul between verse 4 and verse 5. And he is excited. He wants to share with them about this wondrous grace that God has provided through Jesus Christ by which we might be saved through faith in him. He was sharing that message with them, and so he was reasoning with them. And then his ministry increases. He began to testify. He was declaring the truth in verse 5, which brings me to the fourth thing that God did. And that was that God blessed Paul through finances. We see that in verse 5. But when Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, they would have brought that financial gift with them that the Apostle Paul would later talk about. Paul began devoting himself completely to the word, solemnly testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. In youth group, we had been going through a study on 1 Thessalonians. And what we had learned in 1 Thessalonians was that the Apostle Paul received this report from Titus and from Silas of how the brethren were doing in Thessalonica and in Berea. And it was right here in Corinth that he received this report. I mean, this would have been great encouragement for the Apostle Paul as he was in this city, in the city of Corinth, to hear that those believers were doing well in Thessalonica and in Berea. Now, the arrival of Timothy and Silas would have been of great encouragement, as well as that financial gift. The Lord blessed the Apostle Paul. In verses 6 through 8, we see that God gave Paul opportunities with the gospel. God gave Paul opportunities with the gospel. Verse 6 says, "But when they resisted and blasphemed, he shook out his garments and said to them, 'Your blood be on your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles.'" As Paul was in Corinth, the Lord gave him opportunities to proclaim to those around him that Jesus was the Messiah. And I am very thankful that though the Apostle Paul was here in Corinth and may have felt fear at times in the ministry, and even though his future may have been uncertain to him, he still worked at proclaiming the gospel. And we need to understand that as he is with them, as he is with his Jewish brethren here in verse 6, he is telling them that Jesus is the Christ. He is putting Jesus Christ on the same plane as God. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 30, "I and my Father are one." And so for a Jewish individual, a Jewish man to hear that Jesus was on the same plane as God, this was blasphemous. And that's exactly what we see in verse 6. They resisted and they blasphemed and shook out. And so he shook out his garments. They resisted and they blasphemed the Apostle Paul. What we see here is this, that the gospel is good news for bad people and it is bad news for good people. These Jews in verse 6, they thought that they were right with God by the things that they were doing. They thought they were justified before God by their own works. And by the world's standards, if you would have seen these Jewish men, you would have said, these are good men. Perhaps they were. But not good enough to be justified before God Almighty. And so their pride was really getting in the way here. There is great spiritual warfare that is taking place between verses 5 and verse 6. The Apostle Paul is sharing about the grace of God and how one can be right with God Almighty. And these men were resisting that message. The Apostle Paul would later say in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, "In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ." It is their pride, that is getting in the way, and I believe the devil is in the process of blinding them from receiving the truth. So the Apostle Paul says, I'm going to leave you now, and I'm going to go speak with the Gentiles. And in this culture, in this society, these Gentiles were looked down upon by the Jews in Corinth. To the Jews, they were filthy, they were dirty, they were unclean. But remember, the bad news for the Jews in verse 6 was good news for these Gentiles. It was good news for them. Let's take a look. Verse 7. Then he left there and went to the house of a man named Titus Justus, a worshiper of God, whose house was next to the synagogue. Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, when they heard, were believing and being baptized. We see this acceptance to the word of God. We also see this opposition to the word of God as well. It is always too soon to quit. The Apostle Paul may have felt like tossing in the towel. In his situation in verse 6, there was really this great opposition to the word of God. The Apostle Paul did not have much success in Athens before that. And so he may have felt very discouraged. But he kept on faithfully proclaiming the word of God because that was what God had called him to do. And I want to encourage us this morning with this thought. You may have a family member, maybe a parent or a sibling that you have been praying about, that they would come to faith in Christ. It might be a coworker, a friend. You have been praying for years, and you want to see them come to faith. Don't give up on them. Don't give up on them. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, it is the power of God unto salvation. It's not up to us to save people. It is up to God. And so we pray for those who need to come to faith in the Lord. And the Apostle Paul, as he was here, did just that. He shared the gospel with these men, and they came to faith. What a tremendous time of excitement, I can't imagine. I had a college student ask me recently what one of the most effective things we could do when we witness, when we share the gospel with those around us. I believe the most important thing that we can do is we can pray. We can pray for those. We can pray for opportunities to share the gospel, to be looking for those opportunities. We can pray for boldness. But I believe the most important thing that we can do is we can pray. Which brings us to the sixth action that we see, and that is that God comforted Paul at the right time. Verses 9 and 10. I love this part in this passage. This brings encouragement to me. Let's look at what the Lord does. He comforted Paul at the right time. And the Lord said to Paul in the night by a vision, do not be afraid any longer, but go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no man will attack you in order to harm you, for I have many men in this city. The Lord came to Paul on this day and showed him that trying times are not the time to quit trying. And it is interesting that the Apostle Paul needed great encouragement at this point in his ministry. There were those who were coming to faith in Christ, yet he needed encouragement. He became fearful. And so we see that the Lord comforted him. Harry Ironside speculated that Paul may have been discouraged because he was getting restless and was ready to move on from the city of Corinth. And we really don't know the reason why the Apostle Paul may have become anxious in heart. But what we do know is that discouragement can come very quickly, just like that. And when it comes, we need to have our focus on the Lord. And what we find in this passage right here, in these two beautiful verses, in verse 9 and verse 10, we see five amazing truths. We see five amazing truths. The very first truth that we see, the very first thing that the Lord told the Apostle Paul, was that there was no need to be afraid. There was no need to be afraid. The Lord told the Apostle Paul that there was no need to be afraid. And as he does that, he's commanding the Apostle Paul. He's saying, do not be afraid, Paul. Do not be afraid. That word afraid carries the idea of being seized with fear. And it may have been that the Apostle Paul learned that he was in great danger, which caused him to be so fearful. But the Lord was near to him and encouraged him. Maybe it is this morning that you find yourself in an unsettling time in your life. I don't know if that is the case at all. That might be the case. Maybe it is that the boss came to you this past week and said that you've got a few weeks left before you're gone. Maybe it is that there is a test or an exam that is just around the corner, and you're a little anxious about that. You're unsettled in your heart. Maybe it is that you've gone through some physical pain. You or someone that you love, a family member, and that has been a troubling thing for you. It may have been that those things are the case, but whatever the situation might be, as a child of God, we operate from a position of victory. The Lord is near to us. We don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be anxious in our heart because He is there. In Philippians chapter 4, it tells us this, that the Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5, cast all your anxiety on the Lord because He cares for you. The Lord wouldn't want it that we would be anxious, that we would be afraid, no matter what circumstances might come in our life in this new year. Cast all your cares on Him. And the reality was this, God was opening doors for the Apostle Paul to share the gospel. And when God opens doors, the enemy tries to close them. And there are times when we close the doors on ourselves because we get discouraged and we quit. As I've said, the Apostle Paul may have felt like tossing in the towel, but look with me at what God has done for him up to this point. We have seen the Lord provide for the Apostle Paul in some amazing ways. We've seen that God gave Paul opportunities to share the gospel with those around him. God has blessed the Apostle Paul in this passage alone through finances. We have seen that God provided work for the Apostle Paul as well as companions to help him and to be of encouragement to him. And it was the Lord that was faithfully guiding him and leading him to where he wanted him to go. And yet it was this, that as the Apostle Paul was in the center of God's will, as we have seen this morning, God was providing for the Apostle Paul. He was directing him. The Apostle Paul is in the center of the Lord's will for him in his life. And yet he becomes anxious. He becomes fearful. He becomes worried. How can this be? It is at this point the most amazing thing that we can do if we find ourselves in this situation, I believe, is to take a step back from life. And maybe you would say, you know what, I find myself a bit discouraged this morning. Take a step back from life. Spend time in the Word of God. Spend time in prayer. Spend time with the Lord. Because that will give you the encouragement that you need. The Lord will give you more encouragement than anyone else will. And for the Apostle Paul, he received just that great encouragement. The second amazing truth that we see was that there was a great need to speak the truth. Spurgeon used to say, the devil never kicks a dead horse. And where God is at work, there is going to be opposition to the Word of God. And the Lord tells Paul, don't be afraid any longer, but go on speaking and do not be silent. The fear that Paul experienced while in Corinth was connected to sharing the gospel with those around him. And the instruction that Paul received from the Lord was to continue speaking the truth of God's word with his mouth. Jesus commanded Paul to use his mouth in such a way that he was speaking forth the gospel with his mouth and resisting the temptation to be silent with his mouth. He says, do not be afraid any longer, but go on speaking and do not be silent. Don't buy the lie that we need to tiptoe around the truth of man's sinfulness, of God's holiness, but of God's provision as well through Jesus Christ. We must not tiptoe around those things when we share the gospel with those around us, because we're afraid that there are going to be people who are going to be opposed to that. There is opposition all throughout this book. For the Apostle Paul, as he's sharing the gospel, we see that spiritual war take place. And you can expect that there are going to be those who will not like that message. And that's okay. It really is. That is okay. God's will for Paul was not that he would remain silent, but that he would proclaim the wonderful riches of God's grace to the Gentiles in this church age. And so he did just that. The third amazing truth that we see is that the Lord was near to Paul. Jesus says, I am with you. There were times when Katie and I, we were in Arizona, and there were times there, as I was interning for the pastorate, that it really felt lonely. It felt lonely being there. We were in a place we weren't familiar with, and there were those times where it was just lonely, but there was great peace in knowing that we weren't alone. God was with us, and that made all the difference. I want us to look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 just for a moment. 2 Timothy chapter 4, keep your hand here in Acts. The Apostle Paul shares of such a time later on in his ministry in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Last week, Pastor Keith shared with us some of those who aided the Apostle Paul in the ministry. He was a man who knew a lot of people, who invested into people. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, the Apostle Paul writes this. At my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. Out of all the people that the Apostle Paul knew, not one stood by his side. But then he continues on, verse 17. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. When everyone else deserted the Apostle Paul, he was not alone. And maybe it is that you feel alone this morning. I want you to know the Lord is near today. He is near to you. The fourth amazing truth that the Lord gave to the Apostle Paul was that he had promised him safety. Jesus continued by saying in chapter 18, no man will attack you in order to harm you. Which then leads us to the fifth amazing truth, and that was that the Lord had people in this city. There was still work for the Apostle Paul to do. There was still work that the Lord had for the Apostle Paul to do in this city. And I believe this message from Jesus Christ was so encouraging to the Apostle Paul. It was such an encouragement to him to hear his Lord say that he was near to him. There was no reason for him to be afraid. Nobody's going to hurt you. I've still got work for you to do. That he continued on this ministry that the Lord had called him to. Which brings me to the seventh action that we see in this passage, and that is that God planted Paul to do his work in Corinth for a season. Verse 11. And he settled there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. He could have left. He could have left the city. He could have gone and done his own thing. But notice with me what it says here in verse 11. He didn't teach the philosophies that were present in Athens. He didn't expound upon the views that people had throughout different regions. He did what I believe was the most important thing he could have done in this area in Corinth. He faithfully taught them the Word of God. You might be in the center of God's will this morning. Maybe it is that you find yourself in your life this morning where you know God would have you to be. You know that this is where the Lord would have you to be, and yet you may be going through a difficult time. I want to encourage you with the words that Christ encouraged the Apostle Paul with, to know that He is with you, even though it may not feel like it. He is near to you. And as believers, we have no reason to be afraid or to be anxious, because the Lord cares for us. It is always too soon to quit. For the Apostle Paul, when he was fearful in his circumstances, the knowledge that Christ was near to him and that he had no reason to be afraid made all the difference in the world. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage that is before us today. We thank you for the Apostle Paul and for his faithfulness in the ministry. When things were difficult, when he became fearful and he trembled, Father, he still faithfully did what you called him to do. May we be those people who are faithful to do what you call us to do here in this place. Father, we thank you for the promise in Scripture that we have, that you are near to us, that you care about us, that you love us. Father, we thank you for that encouragement this morning. And Father, for anyone who has come in here today who has never trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior, may they know they are a sinner separated from you, that you are holy. Father, that we've all missed the mark, and that the wages of sin is death. But Father, that you have provided a way for us to be right with you, by which man can be right with yourself. And that is, and that was by sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to this world to live a perfect life, to die on that cross, and then to resurrect from the grave. Father, and your word says that by believing in Jesus Christ, we can be saved from our sin. We thank you for that promise. May we live victoriously in this week to come. In your name we pray. Amen.